Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sun.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz here with you. And, you know, I'll tell you, what a time in the business community. We have the biggest manipulation. We have now become only a Fed-induced market. It's not new. It's been going on. But let's keep building up debt. Let's keep doing. Let them eat cake. And then we'll cut their heads off. You know, it's really amazing as you look around. And, of course, we're now calling for Dow 1 million. Because we may never go down again, as no matter what happens, we have lousy GDP. Well, let's rally the market. We've got lousy retail sales. Let's rally the market. We've got lousy jobs. Let's rally the market. And, you know, it's kind of funny as we load up the boat and get all the passengers aboard. You know, it's very scary when you look back. And if you look back in history, this is not a new phenomena that this happens. Some of the surrounding details are maybe new, but the things that are happening, and, you know, we don't often talk here about margin debt, but margin debt is at record highs. Now, the last time margin debt was at record highs, I bet you can guess the year, 2007, 2008. The time before that, that margin debt was at record highs? 2000, 2001. Now, again, I don't predict, and I'm not telling you that the market is going to collapse today. Who knows? I don't know when it will. I know that it will. But if you decide that you want to fight this, and this is one of the things that I find very challenging, even for my own personal style of trading. I mean, I'm a big believer in the footprint. I'm a big believer in being hedged against positions, so I can, because I know how to do it, I can step up a little bit, okay? But really, you have to be very careful, because the irrationality of the market, okay, the irrationality of people, think about it. When you look at the market, think about people that you know. Think about people that might be slightly volatile. You never know what they're going to do. Okay. And that is what you have to understand. You have to be able to follow, we call it following the footprint. Okay. You have to be able to follow the footprint of the market and let that dictate what your next step should be, not what your opinion is. Because remember, the data, the economic data that comes out virtually means nothing at the time that it comes out. Because in today's world, we have information flowing so quickly, okay, that it's already priced in the market. I mean, that was always the case. But the difference is today versus 20 years ago is the markets are open 24 hours a day. We are truly a worldwide global economy trading everything. So markets have a chance to blow off steam overnight. They have a chance to see things happening at different times. So they don't necessarily have that same oomph, you know, when the markets were only open, you know, at 8:30 or 9:30 Eastern time, you know, all that pent up energy had to be done then. But now a lot of the energy gets taken off because of the correlation of many of the products, because of the big shift into ETFs. We don't have as much of a issue or a problem dealing with news that's not available, okay? Because again, you know, a stock reports, you know, after the bell, well, they've got hours to kind of trade and relieve that pressure. And if a company knows that they're going to be bad, typically what they'll do is they'll report, they'll switch the report to the morning so they can get it open into a solidly liquid market. But because of all of the opportunities that are out there and all the availability to trade, you very rarely see these gargantuan moves because you don't get the pent-up energy. You don't get the people that are fretting all night, you know, oh my God, I got to get out, I got to get out, I got to get out, or I got to get in, I got to get in. But what we are seeing is truly greed starting to take over the market. And the sign of that is, we talked about a little earlier, is margin debt. When margin debt continues to grow, that means that people are borrowing money to increase their leverage, to steal more money from the market. And as we know, greed is not good. Okay, Gordon Gekko might have thought greed was good, but as an investor, greed is never good. Okay, because greed will lead you down the path of destruction as you try to over leverage yourself and make sure you don't miss any of that money, that free money that they're giving away. And this is, I think, is something that right now is, you need to be cautioned about, you know, because we forget. And again, human emotions are very tricky as markets move around. And we're all afraid of missing the train to success and to free money. And, you know, again, there's nothing like free money that you didn't have to work for. Of course, when you lose it all, you wonder what hit you in the head. But at the end, these are times now. And again, I'm not telling anybody to get out. Again, that's not the message. The message is pay attention, be prepared, be hedged, put yourself in that best position to be successful, knowing that at some point that all of the money that's being poured in, eventually you run out of the ability to do margin. Eventually the over leverage comes back to haunt you. Okay. And remember, when you get to that point, that people are going to have to start to move out because they have to raise cash. You know, and things change, you know, everybody doesn't realize that things change all the time. The value of money changes all the time. You know, if you're putting in $100, you're never going to panic. But if you're leveraging that $100 and that $100 just really represents 5,000, oh, well, you're leveraged at 50 to 1. And that's a lot of what you're seeing right now, is some way over leverage. Again, that doesn't mean immediate results that the market will break, but these are warning signs. The market is shooting off red flares. And you want to be on the lookout. Again, not on the lookout to panic, not on the lookout to be short the market, but on the lookout to protect your long-term portfolio. And that's what you have to worry about all the time when you look at hedging, because that's why the Badger and I decided to put together that hedge group, because we don't worry about it. We can make money no matter what the market does. Now, again, it doesn't happen every day, but that's what you have to be prepared for, is be prepared for what you don't expect, because believe me, it's going to happen. And that is the lesson that you need to learn, is that the economic numbers have meant nothing for years. Because all we do is we lower the expectations to make it look better, so that the view is, oh, well, things are better. Okay. But you know that they're not, but it doesn't matter. See, that's the point. It doesn't matter. Whatever you think about the overall economy does not matter, because the markets will do what the markets will do. Now, we'll see how it all plays out when it's done. I mean, we got jobs numbers this week now. We had the dopes from the Fed last week, and we'll see how it plays. But if you follow the footprint, if you follow the map that the market leaves for you, because it does, you'll find yourself to be a much happier camper, and you'll rest a lot easier at night knowing that you're not exposing yourself to financial ruin. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure that when you miss a show, you go to libertytalk.fm and get it on demand. We're going to step out here for a break. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back after the break.
Stay with me now.
Welcome. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and it is time for our one, our only, our friend, multi-talented, nationwide, on TV, Jane King, Lila Max Media, The Kaching Report. What's happening, Jane?
I'm still trying to get over that debate on Wednesday night.
What did you think about
really
that?
It was really interesting to watch, to say the least.
Were you interested? I mean, did CNBC not blow that debate, their coverage? I mean, was that not brutal, or am I nuts? I am nuts.
Well, no, you're not nuts. I was watching it, and I was like, first of all, I was like, oh, come on, like, just right off the bat, like, just the snarkiness and the arrogance of the questions. And I mean, John Harwood, I was like, unbelievable, this guy's attitude. Like, he's made Donald Trump look humble with some of the stuff he was saying and asking. And then I was on Twitter, like, watching the debate and following comments on Twitter, and so I could see, like, people out there were reacting to it. And then I just felt like the whole thing was just kind of like, it made me seasick. I mean, it was all over the place. It was very angry. It got out of control. It seemed unorganized. And I was just amazed. And so then the next day, there's all this criticism about it. And I just don't think really the American public benefited much from that debate, besides maybe getting to see, you know, a liberal bias in action, if anybody ever doubted it in the first place.
You know, I thought it was an embarrassment to CNBC, the way they covered it. I thought the questions were ridiculous, and I didn't think it was very well run, just in general. But I do have a question for you. You know, you've been in this business for a few years, and you're very good at it, and you've built your own little media empire, the Lila Max Media. Now, why does everybody try to be like CNBC? Why don't networks try to step out of the crowd and build their own identities? Do you have any opinions of that?
Well, I guess when you look at it, I mean, there's really only three business networks. There's CNBC, of course. There's Bloomberg, and there's Fox, and Bloomberg has decided to take a different tact. I mean, when you look at the ratings, I mean, I used to work at Bloomberg. You know, Bloomberg TV gets no ratings at all. I mean, it's literally slash marks when it shows up in the Nielsen ratings. So Bloomberg, the company, makes its money from the terminals. I mean, that is its golden goose. And the TV is really kind of just a marketing arm. So they don't care as much about the ratings. And CNBC, you know, they're a little more interesting to watch. Now, it's interesting because Fox is starting to rise up in the ratings and becoming more of a force. And so I really thought that was interesting to see CNBC, because I thought it tarnished their brand. I mean, there are some people out there who've never heard CNBC. And, you know, just, that was their first experience with them Wednesday night. And I think that was, you know, not a positive one. And they may turn to Fox and look for things. Everybody in the business world, I mean, business TV is not, I mean, I'm under no illusions here. It's not a big moneymaker. I mean, sports, of course, is king. Entertainment, I mean, you know, business TV is very niche-y. And I just think CNBC still seems to be the leader. But Fox is doing some really interesting things in that space right now.
I mean, but wouldn't you think, like, I mean, I know my issue with Bloomberg, my personal issue with Bloomberg. I mean, I used to do a lot of Bloomberg myself. And, you know, my problem is that they're trying to appeal to the smallest group in the room. I mean, they're trying to appeal to a professional trader, even though they come off wanting to try to educate the everyday trader. But even the stuff that they do, when they used to make me do things, I say, look, I can't do that. First of all, nobody can understand it, number one. Number two, no retail trader can trade that because they don't have enough money. So why do you want to keep putting on trades that nobody can make? It doesn't make a lot of sense, so it's not logical. But,
well, Bloomberg really, I mean, in my opinion, shouldn't have a TV channel. I mean, it's, you know, it's they do some great journalism there, but it's all kind of done by the wire service and the magazines. And the TV, you know, made sense maybe in, you know, 1985, 1992. And now it makes less sense. I mean, it's very expensive to operate a TV channel. Bloomberg's got the money. I mean, it's not a money issue. It's more of a, you know, just makes sense issue. They've got the money to do it. But they just, you know, I think, you know, maybe it just comes down to it's hard to let it go. I mean, there'd be a lot of people who lose their jobs, but it's a really big expense, and it doesn't bring any money into the company.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, but I mean, like what you do, I mean, you report on business, but you do it, you know, to the everyday individual, which is, first of all, a much bigger crowd. And they're the ones that really need the information. And I don't know why we continue to follow, you know, the CNBC model, because they're not appealing to the normal guy, in my opinion. Everybody's trying to appeal to the smallest crowd. And to me, it just doesn't make a hell of a lot of sense, because the people that could actually feed you, that you're looking to pay for your advertising, are the ones you should be trying to appeal to. Don't you think that would look better? What do you think?
Yeah, well, CNBC, of course, they've got the NBC umbrella over them, so you know, they're always going to be protected. But my understanding is they do pretty well. They have while the audience isn't large, it's very affluent. And there are certain, you know, brokerage firms, banks, car dealerships, you know, that want to target that, that may feel like, you know, advertising on their local TV station would be a waste of time because such a small percentage would be able to afford their products or use their products or whatever. So CNBC does fill a niche there. You know, Bloomberg is a little different. I mean, I just think, you know, the company could really serve traders and, you know, pension fund analysts just as well, if not better, with just the terminal. I don't run those companies. I run my company, and we do what I do.
And you do very well.
What
can
I say?
And you're continuing to grow. Did I read that you picked up another station somewhere in New York? Did I read that?
No. But some things are in the works.
Oh, good. I was I got to follow Jane King because she's going to guide me to the promised land. And, it's great. But, you know, Jane, one of the things that bothers me now, what was your take on the Fed announcement?
Well, I wasn't surprised at all. I was surprised that they said December's still on the table, but they're not going to say in October December's off the table. Of course, they're going to keep their options open. I don't expect an interest rate increase in December. First of all, in December, typically they don't do anything. So it's right around the holidays and nobody wants to, you know, any kind of disruptions. So my guess is, like you said all along, it will happen sometime next year. But, I just think it was really kind of a ho-hum yawner meeting from the Fed. No suspense at all.
It's funny because they continue to talk and we continue to look at it. I mean, I don't really care. I mean, I think that, again, I've said this all along, I don't think they know what they're doing. And in my opinion, now, you want to think about the Grinch. They raise rates before Christmas. You know the market's going to have an initial sell-off based on it. Now, there's no way that they're going to put that. If they protected the market this long, They're not going to stick it at Christmas. They may do it in January, but they're certainly not going to take it. And that's just my opinion. I don't really know. But, you know, I'm really worried about the commodities space, Jane. I know that, you know, obviously your family's part of that. But, I mean, we just keep trashing them. They just keep going lower and lower. I mean, you know, now gold can't go up anymore. And, of course, the grain markets are in trouble. And everything just is going down to zero, like we're giving it away free. And, of course, this has a great memory of past years, you know, 2007 and 2008 and the 90s, mm-hmm. You know, we just start throwing the baby, as they say, the baby out with the bathwater. How's your consumer confidence?
Well, speaking of the commodities, the oil companies are going to start reporting their earnings over the next couple of weeks. And you can see a lot of red ink there. It's going to be pretty painful, maybe job cuts. So that's going to give us a better sense of how that whole industry is doing with all this. I feel fairly confident. I look ahead to the holidays and, you know, I'm just thinking about, you know, what the kids want. And I'm like, well, we're probably able to get, you know, some of what they want or maybe right. Most of it. I don't know. It kind of depends on how it all goes. But I think, you know, it's still tough out there. There was a story just released this week saying that, I mean, almost every state, half or slightly more than half of people are paying more than 30% of their income to rent. So that just shows another, you know, rent's going up, wages are stagnant. It's just another way that middle-class people are being squeezed. So, a lot of reports out there and the holiday season isn't going to be that great.
I don't think so, but we'll see. They keep telling me it's going to be good, but they've told me a lot of things for a long time and they have yet to prove me wrong. This is our friend Jane King, Lila Max Media, The Ka-Ching Report. my favorite. I love having her on. She's always right on top of it, and I can beat her up on any subject without a problem. Jane King, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Thanks so much for being here. We appreciate you. This is our friend Jane King from Lila Max Media and the Ka-Ching Report, and of course, she's always willing and able and has a lot of experience from the reporting end as well as the commodity end. And again, it really is refreshing because she just says, kind of like me, you know, what she's thinking and not really worried about the correctness. And we, you know, whether it's politically correct or whether it's business correct, it's kind of, it's her opinion. And I respect it and love it and love having her on. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to step out here for a break and we'll be back. But again, this is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back after the break.
Margie said, Roy.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you, give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and it is time for my guy, my partner in crime, my guy who we both kind of underestimated, the power of what is the power of the pen, my man Mike McClone, ETF Securities, ETFSecurities.com. You got to check him out. By far, the best ETFs in the space. Mr. McClone, how are you?
Hey, Todd. Thanks for having me back.
Hey, listen, you know, I got to have someone to commiserate. So, I don't even know where to start, but let's just start with exactly what we expected. And that, of course, was the Fed last Wednesday saying we're not doing anything, and that's the end of the day. And the markets were running up like crazy, like they were never going to go down. Sold off pretty hard, and then of course rallied up to new highs. And it looks like all time new highs are coming back. What's your thoughts?
It reminds me of 2007 when we saw, you know, it was obvious things were turning, yet the market just kept going up and up and up. And I have to admit, one of the most important things when you're investing and trading is admitting when you're wrong and assessing why and moving past. And these bear flag patterns we saw develop a little while ago all failed, so the market's gone straight back up. I think a lot of that was short covering. You know, it's happening. But one thing about it, these things make it as difficult as possible. I think it's a wonderful situation if the equity market a year from now can be higher. But most of the data I see are still very bearish. And I think one thing that's a factor now, okay, we just, you know, and through the end of the month, can distort things. The issue now with the Fed is, unfortunately, everything is going to be predicated on this next unemployment number. And now we've priced some tightening back into the market. And if this unemployment number is weak, okay, then we go back to taking the tightening back out in the market. Who knows what the stock market will do, but that should be great for gold, silver, and bonds. If the number's strong, the Fed's going to tighten. The problem is unemployment is a significant lagging indicator. And to me, compared to like retail sales, I've noticed that retail sales, the trend in retail sales basically precedes unemployment by about 12 months. And that's what remains my main concern, is that still is very negative. We've had very slow retail sales near recessionary levels. We've had consumer confidence that's declining. And a lot of these other things, yet the Fed's still priced for tightening. One thing that's really significant is most of these markets have moved not based on tightening, but based on Fed expectations of tightening. And that's one thing I've overlaid, and I'll put, I can overlay like Fed tightening, Fed futures overlaid with like the dollar. The dollar's gone up a lot only through the last, let's say, maybe year as we've priced in all this tightening in the market. And to me, that's the key thing, is when a consensus like that potentially doesn't happen. To me, that's the key thing investors need to be aware of and conscious of what might happen here. That's the key thing I'm worried about, is this, all these Fed tightening expectations priced in, they might do it, but markets have moved so much on the thoughts that they will. What happens if they don't? And a lot of indications show that they maybe shouldn't.
They're not. First of all, they're not going to. They should. They should bite the bullet, but that's a story for another day. But now, as we look around, I guess let's start with gold. You and I both like gold. And, of course, gold last Thursday got obliterated. Actually, it started on Wednesday before the Fed. Gold was moving up nicely and getting ready to challenge the $1,200 level. And then after the announcement, which made sense, gold sold off. And then, of course, on Thursday, gold became worthless again, and they just creamed it. Are you concerned about gold, or do you think this is just another great buying opportunity to step in now that they've actually taken it back down to almost at 1140 level, which I thought was a pretty good level anyways?
Yes, that's the answer. I'm both. Obviously concerned. Have to be. I mean, it's one of those things about investing. If we're certain about something, usually it's over and you're out of the position. But still really completely stick with the bottom buys. I think that gold and silver and most of the precious metals have bottomed with that August swoon. It was actually in July, and then we just had a little bit in August. The market's indications, you know, that price drop has brought out so much demand. As we know in markets, sometimes when the best way to bring out demand is lower prices, and it's really still happening. And I think this is a short-term situation. It's going to obviously depend on this Fed tightening, but the whole situation, the weakness in gold, has really been much more of a dollar play. So let's look at the statistics. Like just for the last 12 months, gold over the last 12 months is only down 2%, but the U.S. dollar index is up 12%. So that's been the major pressure factor in terms of gold and the U.S. dollar. Gold and the euro is up 11%. So it's really a dollar. And so the dollar, what's really been driving the dollar? It's been not Fed tightening, but Fed tightening expectations, rather, while the rest of the world has been easing or talking about more easing, which ECB has done. So to me, that's the key thing. And that's just following the pattern and the trend is, let's put ourselves, you and I were talking a year ago, and everybody said, oh, the Fed's going to tighten it in March. Now, here we are in November, and the Fed's supposed to be tightening in December. Okay, great, but that's predicated on, you know, an unemployment number that says they should tightening, and that's 12 months old. So to me, maybe the most significant thing will be that they might go ahead and tighten, and that'll be the worst thing, because markets will react like, whoa, they're tightening in an environment where, to me, my data shows that we are seriously heading towards a potential recession in this country. And I'd love to not have to say that, but for me to not say that, we'd have to have stronger retail sales, employment cost index has to start turning up, and some of these forward indicators are still turning down, yet the Fed's talking about tightening. I mean, to me, that's the environment where I want to be in diversifier assets, protection assets, bonds, cash, and not the risk asset stocks, because it looks to me like the Fed is offsides in an environment where they, you know, last time we had similar type of information, the Fed was easing. So let me give one good example. The Fed started easing in September of 2009. And when they did that, the unemployment rate was 4.6%. Here we have 5.1%, so it's not really about unemployment. Retail sales was 4%. Now it's half that. So they started easing. The environment was, back then, was much, I would say, it was an environment they should be considering easing, but they're not doing it because excessive risk taking, and then they point to the stock market.
Well, screw them. They're idiots, and that's it. I don't really care. And I don't mean that they're dumb people. They just have no common sense. They don't get the big picture. But one of the things that I really noticed, and one of the things that really is concerning to me, is on Thursday, the bond market got absolutely thrashed. Okay. And that's telling me that the bonds, once again, are saying that they believe that there is a rate increase coming in December. And I don't see it. I don't see it for a lot of reasons. First of all, you said recession. I say that the middle class has never left the recession. So that may be something where you and I differ on opinion. But when you look at the normal people, okay, which is the middle class, you can tell by the retail sales, you can tell by everything else that they have not really ever come out of that recession. But now you've got the bonds once again, and the bonds, unusual for them, but they have been wrong at every turn for the last 5 years. I don't know why I would expect them to be right this time. Any thoughts, sir?
You mean the Fed's been wrong?
Well, the Fed's always wrong, but the bond market has sold off into these, looking for these rate increases, which have not come. And again, it looks to me like, you know, they're just pounding him. I mean, you saw the 30-year bond down over 2 full points, and that was after following a full point down the day before.
Oh, yeah, agreed. And one thing about the bond market, let's look at the trend. Yields have been trending down for years. Let's just look at since the beginning of 2014 was the key area. So the simple answer is I think this is a buying opportunity in the bonds. And to me, still, that's the number one area we should see inflation. And it's still not showing. Okay, so we've had one day where it looks like we flushed out some of the week longs. The Chinese have been selling. We know that. But year to date, bond yields are still down. Right now, the 10-year note yield's around 2.15. It ended in 2014 around 2.2%. So it's not a big difference, but they're certainly not going up like they should be in an environment that they're afraid of inflation. And that's despite Chinese liquidating. So you look at the other bond markets of the world, they've still been trending lower. Well, the rest of the world's having much more of a problem. But no, I still think that's one of the key reasons to me to hold on to this. That's what actually I came up with this position or this bias is because the U.S. bond market is not showing there's inflation. Yeah, okay, we've had one day, we've had a few days because of this Fed tightening coming out, but overall the trend remains down. And if I'm the Fed to consider tightening because the bond market says there's inflation, you have to, I would think, have at least a few, maybe at least 6 months of yields going up, meaning give me a trend higher. And that's, to me, is the key thing, is watching the pattern recognition, and that is bond yields have been trending down, consumer consumption expenditures have been trending down, retail sales have been trending down, all this despite what we should be getting a boost from better unemployment. And that's not happening. So we got to see a major turn in these trends for the Fed to tighten. But the fact that they consider tightening in this environment is really disconcerting.
Well, the fact that the Fed in its current state even exists is disconcerting to me. I mean, again, I think that there's a place for them. But under the current operating structure, they are nowhere near doing what they are supposed to be doing based on the original mandate from 1913. And that, to me, becomes a bigger concern. Well, we're going to stop out here for a break, but I want to ask you, I want to give you a chance to think about this, okay? My repeated problem for the last couple of years, actually, is where is the growth? Remember Clara Peller from Wendy's, Where's the Beef? Where's the growth? Once again, on Thursday, we had another GDP number that was, I don't know, I would say 1%, 1.5% growth is pretty awful for this country. I think it's a problem. I want to get your thoughts when we come back, but we're talking with my friend, my man, Mike McClone, ETF Securities. Go to their website right now, etfsecurities.com. Check it out. Great ETFs. Understood. They know how to handle they handle markets that nobody really understands how to handle them. But with ETF securities, you get the proper pricing at all times, and you don't get the backhanded slap that you do in others. I would urge you to check them out. I do own them myself, and I want to make sure that you check them out because I think they're the best in the business. This is The Bubba Show. We are with Mike McClone again from ETF Securities. We're going to step out here for a break and be back and get Mike's answer on GDP and where is the growth. Clara Peller, The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz.
Pines and thumbing my way in North Carolina.
Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz is my man, Mike McClone, ETF Securities, etfsecurities.com. Check him out. All right, big boy. I told you, I said there's been no growth. My girlfriend, Clara Peller, where's the beef? Where's the growth? I haven't seen it. I'm concerned. I think it's a problem. What do you think?
Well, it is a problem, and I think this is one of the key situations that really concerns me with the equity market, like the housing market did about 10 years ago, and that is the excessive returns in the equity market over nominal GDP. So what I mean by that is historically, you have nominal GDP. Nominal GDP basically includes all the growth and inflation, and the S&P 500 typically, historically, will return maybe 1, maximum 2% over that historically. So let's look at one of the best decades ever in this country was 1990s. 1990 to 1999, nominal GDP increased just under 6%. And over that period, which was a great time to be in stocks, the S&P 500 increased about 3 times nominal GDP on average. Okay, so that's 10 years. Look at 1950s. That was a great time to be in stocks. Nominal GDP increased about 7%. And the S&P 500 increased on average about 2 times nominal GDP. The problem I have is since 2009, nominal GDP has increased less than 3%. You know, that's really bad. This year, maybe it's going to be 2% on average if we're lucky. And the stock market's increased 4 times that nominal GDP. That, to me, is a problem. Why has it increased that much? Because of QE. Now, QE helped that create this excess of returns in the stock market. The Fed knows that, and the Fed has said, we are worried about excessive risk-taking. So let's look forward. They're going to take that away. That's what concerns me most about just doing the numbers. We've priced in a lot of future returns in the equity market. It'd be wonderful if we can get more of this, but historically it's very, very rare to have the stock market go this much further above nominal GDP. And now that we're potentially heading towards a recession, you see that in earnings have been declining, revenues have been declining, retail sales have been declining, and the Fed's going to tighten as they said they would. This really concerns me because we have an elevated equity market. That's why I say underway.
Okay, so what is the answer from your standpoint? Okay, I mean, you've been around a while. You're a trader, or you were a trader. You're an analyst. You're involved very heavily in all these markets that really have a direct effect. What is the answer, Mike?
Well, unfortunately, that's the problem. That's why I find the dilemma. There's really no true answer. I think you and I both have agreed is in the long term, the best thing we can do is hopefully we can get the Fed to kind of get out of the way, let markets seek their own levels, and let us return to good standard organic growth. Let the good, solid, hardworking, innovative American worker come to play. And we haven't been able to do that the last few years. The problem I have is we've QE's goosed the equity market, and now we have a potential it's going to come back, and we potentially might go into recession because the equity market has gone up too fast and has gone and will go down. And unfortunately, these things usually don't work themselves out historically without some, I hate to say the word, but the best word is discombobulation. We need to have something shake it up. To go back to what we've done the last 4 years where we go, you know, the equity market just goes up an average of 15% a year, the VIX stays very low, and everybody's happy. That's wonderful. That would be great, but historically that's a major aberration. We have to say thank you very much. I'm glad we were able to live through that. Now it's batten down the hatches and, you know, survive for a little bit of mean reversion.
Well, I'm not happy. So what do you mean everybody's happy? I'm not happy. I think I'm afraid of what's going on. And again, for me personally, it doesn't really matter now, not one way or the other. But I'm worried about the future generations. I'm worried about my kids because I think that damage is being done today to markets and the free market society that we grew up with, that we know, okay, has become a manipulated free market. It's no longer free. And yes, we have price discovery, but it's not true price discovery because when you know that there's somebody there to get you, it's when you're walking the high wire and you got a rope around you, knowing that if you fall, it's no big deal. That is not true risk or whatever. And I don't think we're seeing that. And that to me becomes more concerning because when you manipulate too far, and you try to bend the bar in your favor, just like with all these lowered earnings expectations that they're still having trouble making, I believe that's a bigger problem. What do you think?
Agreed. And, this is one of my key takeaways that really was concerning me from Ben Bernanke's book. It was that quote, really, the impatience that the Fed had, which inspired them to do QE in 2012. The impatience with the improvement in the economy. So they have to you know, add, be more, do more bond buying and print more money because they're impatient with the improvement. That scared me the most about reading that book, because that was their thought. And my thought is, it's best, you know, it's one of my, I would say one of my major weaknesses is I am impatient. I admit that, but sometimes it's the most thing, important thing to do is to be patient. And that's what concerns me most, because that QE3 helped boost the stock market from about 1,200, 1,300 in the S&P 500 to 2,000 now. And it just doesn't seem like it's organic, true appreciation. And that means, oh boy, that we might have to mean revert that.
Well, I mean, I say this. Here's my slogan, okay? If you go back to the 90s, and it was always the internet bubble. And of course, nobody cared about the internet bubble in the 90s because everybody was making so much money or thinking they were making so much money. Because all you had to do was buy. Every day, MikeMcClone.com comes out. Oh, I got to get an IPO. Well, let me jump in. I'm going to make $1 billion. Now, I think you substitute in from the 90s internet bubble to the 2015 Fed bubble, because I believe that the Fed has created an unbelievable asset bubble here that without question will pop and pop dramatically because of the debt structure, because of where we are, because we've got $2 trillion in student and auto loan debt. We've got, that's bigger than the housing bubble, by the way. Okay. And I believe you just substitute in the Fed for internet and you can just put bubble on the end of it. What do you say?
Well, I remember in the 90s, towards the end of there, the joke on the trading desk is everybody's in it for the long haul, as long as it's going up. And of course, we all learn, you know, that's just the things that people will say. I have to agree with you, and I'm very concerned. So let's forward-looking, what are investors supposed to do? We all know, we've just like in the 1999, we all knew it was kind of stupid and getting out of whack. So prudent people, and we all knew people who got hurt bad, prudent people should say, thank you very much. Underweight equities, at least for now. Wait for a little bit of organic correction or organic, you know, return and normalization, and then get in strong. And the last good example was that was really the election of 2012. It was a great opportunity to buy. The market went down for the wrong reason because, you know, we reelected Obama, and it was a great opportunity. But we should get some more of that, and maybe we're going to go back to those levels. But the prudent thing to do is to say thank you. Let's just be careful here and be properly invested and be ready for when the opportunities come. And that's when I have to be very concerned is what's happened recently is, okay, we had this latest Fed meeting that said the Fed's probably going to come back, and at least people interpret it that the Fed's going to tighten. I don't interpret it that way, but people have. Yet the equity market went up. So that's kind of surprising. It's when I don't understand, I stay away. But one key thing I want to bring from the Fed is the key statement they've said every month is the committee anticipates that it will be appropriate to raise the target rate for the federal funds, blah, 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 when it has seen some further improvement in the labor market, okay, and is reasonably confident that inflation will move back to its 2% objective over the medium term. Well, there is absolutely no sign that inflation will move to that 2% target in the medium term. In fact, it's the opposite right now. And to see further improvement in the labor market, which probably means this October employment number will be a key barometer for whether they tighten or not. In fact, is if they start tightening, that should be bad for the stock market. And if they don't tighten, it means it's probably data is really weak. So looks like a potential lose-lose. But the odd thing is the markets, you know, can remain irrational for a long time.
Well, they don't care. We know one thing. The markets don't care. When you're firing in money, we've got margin debt at record highs, continues to build on every day. And every warning sign is out there. Okay. Every warning sign is out there for the individual investor that, yes, we can go higher. I can't tell you when it's going to pop, but it's going to pop, okay? Because it always does. It's not me talking about my bearish position or my mind. I'm just telling you that mathematically, the bubbles always pop. But, you know, we'll get more into this next time, Mr. McClone, because, of course, we are running up against the clock here. But always a great honor and a pleasure to have you on and your unbelievable analysis. And you can get Mike's analysis at thebubbashow.org because he does send us his report and we post it. But also ETF Securities, ETFSecurities.com. Go check out what they have. I'm telling you, if you like the spaces that they're in, which is the Zacks Earnings ETFs, but really the metals is their real specialty, there ain't no place better. Michael, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, Pat. I'm hoping to have my precious metals update for October on the website this week.
That'd be great. This has been The Bubba Show. We've spent the last couple of segments with our friend Mike McClone, who always gives us his straight up analysis. And again, he is concerned as well, because there are things to be concerned about. But we'll talk more about this next time. This is the Bubba Show. Todd, Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you later.
Put some feel good in my soul.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.